Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and God bless you. Welcome to Born in Manna with your host, Apostle Diane Chappelle, on what is true to be a beautiful Sunday as we're watching the sun come up. Pray that things are going well for you as you are approaching a new day. And certainly, as I always say, if not, we want to declare and decree that it will manifest itself. Amen. Good to have you guys on board this morning. Father, we pray and we magnify your name as we bow in your presence. We rejoice. We do rejoice at the beginning of a new day. We thank you, Father. We're grateful that you brought us through the day yesterday. We thank you for coming through the night and once again approaching a brand new day. For that, we give you praise. We magnify your name. We rejoice in who you are. We rejoice even more in who we are becoming in you. And for that, we just offer great worship and celebration. As we gather together, we thank you for the outpouring and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that is always teaching, leading, guiding, and giving direction and understanding. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being the teacher that you are and leading us along the path that is sure to bring us victory as we continue to press into purpose. And for that, we give you praise. We thank you for the cleansing, redeeming blood of Jesus. We thank you for that which heals and restores and gives life. And we just celebrate all that this morning. I thank you for everyone that's listening. I thank you for those that will listen. I thank you for the cities that are represented here. And I also just thank you for the nation. Thank you for the great America. We just continue to give you praise. So, Father, have your way. In our midst, we will continue to honor and magnify your glorious and marvelous name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, once again, great to have you guys on board. And I'm telling you, it is an amazing season that we're in. And we are definitely not trying to get out of it, but we are making haste, if I could say, in being victorious in this hour. There has been so much that has transpired in my life since last week, and I don't think I'd be too far off in saying that you could probably make the same confession. Those of you that had an opportunity to look at the episode information that I really just put up, it says that this season of the transition continues to add other dynamics. As many of us are thrust into the unrelenting processes of transformation, and if you can catch that, join the company, because truly there's been a thrusting, it would appear, into these places. The challenges that we are encountering are mind-boggling for some. And then for others that have taken the challenge and have seen the other side, there's a season of great victory and a great rejoicing. So I want to just be a voice of encouragement again this morning as we look at this season of transformation that we're in, and of course, the escaping the cocoon. Now, those that have followed my ministry, teaching, and preaching down through the years know that one of my major themes is transformation, the changing of the caterpillar to the butterfly. And I always qualify that butterfly as being a monarch butterfly, one of great beauty and elegance. And we are definitely in that season. In fact, I don't know if we ever come out of the season completely. We come out of stages, but there's always this continual in this transformation process. It's just that each transformation process is a little more bearable, if we can say, because of the level of maturity that these processes take us into, through, and victorious in. We go into these places and God operates in those encounters that we make that actually bring us into a greater alignment, into our purpose, for being in the earth, and for sure our purposes of being in the work of the Lord. So I have seen this transformation be even more mind-boggling, if I can use that term, and more strenuous. I can't use the word threatening because God never puts us in a threatening place. He allows challenging places. Sometimes we move into threatening places because we misstepped or gone off in the wrong direction or stayed too long in the direction that we were called to escape from. But I just wanna, like I said, share a word this morning because I have been through some things, and I know if I've been through, others have been through. We kind of go through. We may go through at different times and seasons, but in seasons we all process through the same door. We just don't get through it at the same time. So, want to just look at some things, and even as I was trying to move forward, but for some reason, not for some reason, I don't know what the Lord is doing. I want you to go with me once again to one of our familiar scriptures in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, especially verse 2. Wow. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. And if we would pause right there. And like I said, I'm sure we've all taught it and preached it and we're sat in the audience where it was being taught and preached. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's something that many find themselves doing at the beginning of the day, to actually offer in their bodies as a living sacrifice, presenting our bodies before the Lord, that our bodies will, that our intention of the day will come in alignment with His perfect will, and we will be molded and shaped and formed in His will, that we would move into the day carrying His purpose with great intensity and with great awareness that we purpose to walk out our day yielded to His will. Well, anytime we yield our will to His will, we can expect some opposition from the soul, okay, because the soul, nature, our natural nature is not necessarily happy about that. And because we know that, we can take authority over it, amen, as we mature along this course, as we allow Holy Spirit to continue to work with our self-will so that our self-will becomes fluent as it comes in alignment with Father's will, amen. So that struggle goes on, and then we have that war going on. The spirit is warring against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit, and the enemy is implementing his involvement in the midst of our daily routine and doing everything he can to bring us out of sync. So it becomes a sacrifice. It becomes an engagement with our mind. We have to be cognizant of the fact that our minds have to be shifted and changed and come into alignment with the purpose of the with the mind of Christ, and that is not a thing of the flesh. The flesh does not necessarily it's not necessarily concerned about that. We war with imaginations and bringing them down and casting them down when we can catch them, amen, so that we come in alignment with God's purpose, amen. So it's a consistent challenge daily in this walk. But when we are yielded and cognizant of the fact that I have submitted myself under the mighty hand of God, and that in doing so, that whatever encounter I have during the course of the day, the good, the bad, or the otherwise, they all align with the purpose and plan of the King that does not escape me. It will not escape you, because we begin to see process. We begin to understand those things that God is saying and doing. in this season. So we offer ourselves up to Him at the beginning of the day. Amen. We decree and we declare whatever it is that we need to do in order that our confession is that our will is coming in alignment with His will. And then, of course, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed to the renewing of your mind. And I want to spend a little time there that, once again, that's a familiar, this whole Romans piece, Romans 12 is familiar to many of us. But I discover, and I'm sure you do also, that as we continue to process through this thing called life, what was once familiar can take on a whole different flair. It's the Holy Spirit taking us deeper into revelation, opening up even more, that we see some additional things that we didn't necessarily see at the beginning. And as we compare the course of life that we're on, our daily routine, our daily encounters with the things, the environment, the influences that are going on around us, we will find that not conforming to this world, but being transformed, takes on a different dynamic. It depends what we're being transformed out of. It's the challenge of not being conformed to what is the state of the world on any given day that would challenge us to be molded into its form, and that we would have to war outside of that to be to not be conformed or molded into his form, but be in that place of cognizant transformation. And I keep using that word cognizant because I keep drawing our attention to our mind. It's our mind that orchestrates those things that will bring us out of places and into places, bring us into victory or keep us entailed on the wall of defeat. So as we look around at the political system that we're in right now, we have a challenge before us. We are either swayed and conformed, molded by those things we see happening in the world system of politics, or we see ourselves conformed and molded by the truths that the Holy Spirit has put in our being that causes us to maintain an alliance, an alignment with the purpose and plan of the King. We're either drawn by an influence or we can reject, and when I said, I mean a negative influence, we're either drawn by it or we can reject it, amen. And the enemy is always busy trying to bring us in a place where we will be drawn into the platform that he has established so that we can operate from that influence and forget about the platform that the kingdom has established, that we are allowed to operate from that. So it's a challenge. Every day is a challenge. And one of the greatest deceptions of the enemy would be that we wake up daily and not be aware that we're getting ready to step into a challenge. Because we awake, we're stepping into a challenge. It may come around the coffee cup, but it's going to come, whether it's in the early morning or later in the day, you can expect something coming from the enemy of our souls to challenge us, to get us off kilter, if you would. So in this place of being not conformed, that means that work of the cocoon can become more intense. Amen. The threatenings, the operations of the cocoon, and we know that once the caterpillar begins the wounding, the winding, the shredding, the forming of this cocoon, that the work inside that cocoon is brutal. It is bloody. It's brutal. It's the juices and everything that's going on inside that cocoon in order to prepare that caterpillar to be transformed. But we just say the word brutal. Many of us are finding in our daily walk that we are encountering some brutal situations in the realm of the spirit. some challenges that are happening to us that had happened a year ago, we may not have made it. And that's that other plus with God. He never allows those challenges to be greater than we're able to, that we are unable to win with the assist of Holy Spirit, with the assist of the Word and other components of eternity that He has given us. Okay? So the closer we get to victory, the greater the fight to break through. Okay, the closer we get to fulfilling the purpose, even if it's the purpose of the day, the greater the warfare that's released. Because once again, the enemy's intent is to keep us out of that position of victory, where it is God's desire that we enter in. And guess who holds the key? We do. Whether we either yield to the intent of the enemy, or we yield according to the purpose of the Father. Amen. So, and the closer we get to that escape, once again, the more violent, the more intense the war becomes. If you have knowledge of that, if you understand that, and it's not taken by surprise, that's another step toward victory. I expect you, devil, to war against me. I expect you to try to pull me out. I expect you to do that. That's what you do. That's your assignment. That is your approach. Amen. And so with that knowledge, with that foreknowledge, if you would, then when it comes, it shouldn't be a surprise. When it comes, it should be, once again, a play to victory, that you're getting ready to cross over into victory, because you, as you have thought and understood the processes that He uses against you, what you're doing, you're strengthening your inner man for the next approach. Amen. If you can understand the strategy of hell, if you would, the strategy of the enemy is to get you into a place of agreed weakness, glory to God, so that you'll falter and fall on the road and not not be victorious over the very victory that God has provided. Amen. And when you have that awareness of what the enemy is doing, the war, that moment of warfare isn't long. You know, it's kind of like Jesus once again in the wilderness with Satan. You know, every time Satan brought him a proposition, all it took was Jesus to say, "It is written." And so when we understand that we carry that level of word, knowledge on the inside of us, when those things come against us during the course of the day, out of our spirit should leap, "It is written." It's at one place, we don't have time to spend swinging swords and demons. We should be able to speak to it, it move, and we process on to having the kingdom manifest out of our efforts, out of the assignment that we've been given in the earth. Amen. The enemy is already defeated, so I don't have to spend a whole lot of time warring with him. My focus has to be on getting the kingdom aligned according to the portion of the assignment that's been given unto me. As you have, it is your responsibility to get that portion that has been given unto you aligned for the purpose of the king. Amen. So when we understand the wiles of the enemy, when we understand his methodologies, when we understand how he thinks, then we're well aware of being in that place of victory. It's when we submit to the assault that comes from him, when we neglect discovering the victory that we have over the enemy. That's when things get shaky and we move into places. The other piece that you need to understand is that the level of the affront, of the spiritual affront that we all engage, speaks mightily to the level of the assignment that we're on. Amen. Once again, kind of speaks to the anointing or the preparedness that we have. Our assignment, our level of assignment, where we are in our assignment is always a measuring line as to how the enemy will try to launch an attack. Because he understands that place that we're in, if our anointing engages the place, then he has lost all opportunity to invade or block it. So depending on where you are, depending on your assignment, measures the enemy's intent to disrupt. That's what you're doing. But listen, each assignment carries the same level of intensity, if you would. The enemy can only meet you at the place of your assignment, and because he's limited by the hand of God. The greater your assignment, the greater the intensity, but yet it is still comparison the same. Whether your assignment is great or small, your assignment is something that will interject you and God's purpose in your path that will be an offense to the enemy and cause him to want to react to that which you're carrying. I hope that didn't confuse anybody out there. But it was just as I was talking, the Lord was saying that each assignment measures the same. It's not that it's a greater assignment. Okay, they all measure the same. It's the preparation of the anointing that we carry when we meet that assigned place. That the enemy, that's when he tries to break it. Amen. By his intervention, if you would. So once again, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. So how do you be not conformed to this world when the world is always drawing you into that place to be conformed to it? Okay, how do you become victorious in that? How do you win over those places? How do you not submit to the draw to be conformed? Because we understand that the draw to be conformed is always attached to our carnal nature, our flesh, that human part of us. That's what's drawing us, amen. And if the enemy can get us to comply to his drawing that always draws us from our mind, our will, and our emotions, if he can get us to cross the bar, if you would, then that means he's got us out of the position of the assignment that we've been given, and has put us at the table of the opposing army, if you would, that we're supposed to be annihilating as we move forth governing the land. Amen. The plot and plan of the enemy isn't that it's that slick. It's just that sometimes we miss the fact that he has us in his, has the beam in on us and is trying to bring us out of position. And sometimes we're just oblivious to that. Okay, so when Paul says, "Do not be conformed, do not be put in the world's mold, do not be drawn to its table." Listen, the only time we should be drawn to the table of the world is when we've been sent to take the table. Hear what I'm telling you? When we've been sent to govern the table, when we've been sent as governing agents of the King of God. You've heard me say it, and you'll hear me say it all the time. Until we understand that we've been sent in to govern the land and not for the land to govern us, amen, that we've been sent in to govern the opposing forces, not to submit under the opposing forces, amen. And anytime we submit under the opposing forces, we may as well be breaking bread with Nimrod, because that's exactly what is happening. We're moving into that Babylonian system, and it's either that we conform to it or we cause it to conform to us, and that is by not yielding. And it doesn't change, my brothers and sisters, it doesn't change the whole cosmos. Needs to be transformed. The whole cosmos is evil, is in darkness. It is there is no light in it. The only light in it is the light we bring to it. Amen. There is no hiding place. Okay, it is all corrupt. Amen. And the only ones with keys to the corruption is those of us that are named in the name of Christ. So, but the option on the seat we sit in is us, is ours. We either sit with the world or we transform the place where we are to sit by the renewing of our minds. And so once again, we look at the political system that we're in right now, and those of you that are pioneers for transformation, you already hear what I'm saying. Those that have yet processed in and pressing to get into that place in your appointed time must hear what is being said, because the draw is not politics. The draw is a spirit that's going to rule the land. Hear me, somebody. Okay, it's not about politics. It's about the spirit that's going to rule the land. It's going to either be Babylon and the Babylonian system, or it's going to be the kingdom of God. It has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican or Tea Party or Independent or anybody else. It has to do with who's going to rule the land. Somebody needs to catch that. That's one of the great deceptions of the enemy. He's trying to think that the vote has something to do. He still has his eye on us. He still has his eye on those that are sinning. He's still determined that we aren't going to take the territory, that we aren't going to take the land. You get what I'm saying? He is still casting, if you would, that we are not going to be victorious in the assignment God has given us. And if you like me, the devil just told the biggest lie, because I certainly do intend to take territory, take ground, and take a few demons in the process. You know, if they move in my path, then that means they were supposed to be demolished by me. Amen. So we have to be, again, to think differently. And then Paul continues to say, how do you do this? It's by the renewing of our mind. Amen. And so we have to, once again, we need, as I'm sitting here, we need a renewing mind journal. Okay? And every time the mind goes off, it goes awry and goes in another direction, we need to document it. You know, we need to be our own personal scribes on the condition of our mind and how the mind operates. And I began to learn something. I shared this with you guys last year when it really was intense and when it really began to become intense, that I was drawn to the reality that my mind would be sometimes as a three-part play. Amen. I would find myself thinking about something, and I don't even know how I got to that place of thought. And it was usually I was either fussing about something or something was moving on that was not necessarily in line with the Holy Spirit. But it was my flesh or my carnal nature was reacting to an outside influence. And hear what I'm saying? An outside influence, okay? And the enemy, you know, the way he attacks, he influences our thought process. He influences our mind. He can't read it, but he can influence it. He knows very well what he's doing. And he just throws things, or he influences someone else to say something, do something, or whatever that's going to cause us to react. And then that we can continue to think about that offense or continue to think about that thing and rehearse it and go over and over and over again. And then when I began to realize that, well, hold up, wait a minute, I'm not getting ready to give my mind the key to direct my day. No, it's not the director. I'm the director, okay? And God began to show me, and as he was teaching me about casting down imaginations, is that in the casting down imaginations, we take control of our thoughts, which becomes our strengthening agent against the violations of the enemy that's always trying to get our thoughts to come in alignment with his purposes, his influences, and his plan. Amen. And so when you do that over and over and over again, what happens is that you find that you have these windows when you aren't having negative thoughts, when you aren't fussing, when you aren't imagining things. And some of the things we imagine aren't even true. They're just imaginations. So, and then what we do, we can exchange those imaginations from taking them out of the hand of the influence of the enemy and let our imaginations be influenced by the hand of God. And whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are a good report, of pure, those lovely, those things, we begin to build those things into our mindset, and they become our positive imaginations. Amen. The imagination is not the imagination that is dangerous. It's the imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. It's the imagination that takes rule, takes reign, and puts itself above the purpose and plan of God. In fact, this imagination doesn't even talk to God about what his purpose or what his thought may be. Okay. You see how that thing is running together. And so we find ourselves as we move into that place that we are denying the enemy the ability to put in place in our mind the intent or the knowledge of God, to overrule the knowledge of God. Amen. What happens after if we overrule the knowledge of God? We come in agreement with the lie that the enemy has given us in imagination. Oh, y'all hear me? Amen. Amen. You see that balance? If I continue to be drawn by the negative imagination that the enemy is playing across by the stage of my mind, then I'm canceling out the knowledge of God that has the truth about all situations that involve us. Then if I'm not cognizant of the fact that the imagination is exalting itself against the knowledge of God, I'm yielding to the imagination, canceling out the knowledge of God. And in that act, I've come in agreement with the negative imagination. When I've come in agreement with the negative imagination, I've just empowered my steps in that moment in time. I've empowered my steps by agreement with the enemy. I've empowered my steps with agreement with a lie. Okay, you know what I'm saying? That is empowered that moment of error or that moment of misstep or whatever it is. I've given him that kind of power. So once again, we tie in that Romans 12 by renewing of your mind. And using those negative thoughts and arresting them and replacing them with the positive ones. And not just put in the positive one, but actually begin to have a conversation with the positive thought. And let the Holy Spirit get involved in the interaction that's going on as you are arresting the negative and being empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring in the positive. And then you are coming in agreement now with the Father and not in agreement with the enemy. I do hope that helps somebody today, but that truly has given a new light for me in what that, especially in that agreement thing, and that what we're empowering. We have to understand what we're giving power to. Okay, we have to understand what we're giving power to. And the enemy cannot take our thoughts and give power to it. We have to give power to it. It has to be a voluntary act of our own will and intent to empower it. Hey, glory to God, glory to God. So the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're talking about that transformation. So in the process of the cocoon and what's happening with the cocoon as it gets closer to the place that the cocoon breaks for the exit of the butterfly, the war gets more intense. The battle gets more intense. Some of you have been in a greater intensity. In this hour, you have come into some encounters with some demonic presence, if you would, that have literally been trying to take you out. Well, I should say, but literally been trying to take us out. Amen. Intense continual strike to weaken you and to keep you from getting to that place of deliverance, if you would, out of the cocoon that you're in, so that you can move forward and be victorious in the next steps of God. So that you have been encountering, that increase in war means that the cocoon is almost threadbare. What do I mean by threadbare? One good transitional piece from the inside, one other step, and it's going to open, and you're going to gain your place of transformation. You're going to gain your place of being the butterfly. You're going to come out of that thing that was you would thought was trying to kill you. And the thing that comes along with that is God begins to give revelation as to what was going on. And that revelation, in that revelation comes a freedom like never before. once you reach a place of revelation and you have understanding of what just happened or what is happening, it's a place of freedom. It's a place of victory. It's a place of testimony. It's a place of rejoicing. It's a place of understanding that God has been allowing some things to operate in and around us to bring us into a heightened place of maturity in Him, that He can release us into the next realm of our existence so that we can manifest even more now as we continue to gain access to becoming a manifested son. Oh, y'all hear me this morning, that this whole thing is to get us in a place that we are strengthened beyond our imagination. We are strengthened in this place now that we move forward, and we move forward victoriously. It's in that cocoon. It's in the fight within the cocoon that guarantees the death of the enemy once we get out. Glory to God. It's in that fight that we're actually being toughened, that we have been strengthened, that Goliath's head is getting closer and closer to being in great danger, okay, the closer we get to the end of that cocoon visitation, if I can say that. Amen. You have been prepared and strengthened. Two things that happened. You've been strengthened in the war, and you have been strengthened in your relationship with Father because you become the one. Each step of the encounter in that battle brings us greater revelation of what Jesus was saying when He was saying we will become one in Him as He is one in the Father, that the relationship between us and the Father strengthens in the process of the war that's going on in the cocoon. Somebody catch that. Catch that. The relationship that we have with the Father strengthens as we are in the midst of a war in the cocoon, if we allow it. Amen. And many times God is not gonna let us get into that level of cocoon warfare if that doesn't happen, because that could destroy us. Amen. So when you are entered into the cocoon of transition to transform you into the purpose in which you have been called, there is nothing in the process that's going to go awry, because God would not allow you in that process at that level if you were not going to be victorious in coming out. Amen. Amen. So the cry, why God? You don't have to say why God, because He knows that you're prepared. He knows that we're prepared in our inner man to be victorious in the coming out. Once again, the Father would never cause us to be a victim. He would never cause us to be a victim. And in those places where we appear to be victim, we're actually victorious if we just take another look. And then two is that place where it's almost guaranteed that we're not going to deny Him, regardless of how hot the fire gets. We aren't going to deny Him, because it's just our spirit. Listen, our spirit man. Our spirit man has met another level of maturity, that we aren't like babes that are throwing temper tantrums because things have happened, or we're not cussing out the chair that stubbed our toe. You mean that stubbed our toe? Not that we stubbed our toe on, but that stubbed our toe. We aren't having fists with inanimate objects. Okay, we aren't having those kind of encounters. We're matured to another level. So our encounter with cocoon is always measured by the level of our maturity. Somebody need to hear that, write it down. The level of our encounter in the cocoon is always measured by the level of our anointing and our ability to sustain the cocoon encounter. Amen. The enemy would want you to believe that you come under attack, but you have been in that place of understanding that there's a divine purpose in this. That may not be your thought process. That may not be what you're thinking in your mind, but in your spirit, man, that's a reality, or you would never be in that place, in within the cocoon. Amen. So that those last few things that have happened to you, and even as I'm speaking, that revelation is ringing true in your spirit. You're having this aha moment. Yeah, I see. Now I understand. And because what the other thing the enemy would want to do is keep you confused or questioning or wondering at the gate, so that you will slow down the process of getting through the gate. Okay, cocoon is taking you somewhere. It's not just stagnant. It's just not to be there. The butterfly just doesn't come out and just stand there at the cocoon. No, it begins to operate. Its wings begin to move. It's in motion. It's moving. Well, transformation means that it's time now for you to move and be in motion. And the thing that you have been that has happened in the cocoon has made you in a place of greater preparation. And now purpose is more greatly defined. What the enemy does not want you to do, or does not want us to do, is begin to define purpose. How do we define purpose? We define purpose. Remember, I said some time ago that our purpose is not our purpose, but it's the purpose of the Father. That he's given us his purpose that he wants to build in the earth. Well, when we understand that, then we understand this purpose that now we are attached to as we're coming out of the cocoon has been developed by a closer encounter with the Father in the cocoon, even though it has not been a cognizant moment in time during the course of the cocoon. I mean, when you're in the cocoon, you aren't fighting and thinking about the cocoon. Okay, you're processing it through life, but it's your spirit is engaged in some things. It's more than your carnal nature. It's the spirit man that's being engaged with the Holy Spirit. There's some things inner working in the soulish realm that's going on, that's happening. And our maturity is not coming from our flesh. Our maturity is coming from our soulish man. Okay, our spirit man is maturing, not our flesh. All right. So you can see that the process of the thought on those realities shifts, okay, that there's something that's being matured in my inner being, not in my outward appearance, if you would. All right. Wow. So so that's where we are, because there's another approach coming that we have to be prepared for, and that is when we look at Joel 2, verse 25, when Joel says, the word I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, that those are things that are being restored even now. Wow. Transformation is inclusive of restoration. Amen. The things are being restored, restitution, all things coming in alignment with the purpose and plan of God. Amen. So think about it. You had to go through a season of transition in order to be prepared for the restoration that has been promised. That those things that tried to destroy you have to give up, because now you're moving in that place to be restored. The devil has to give back seven times what he's stolen. Those issues in life that tried to destroy you by withholding, being withheld from you, or we withheld from ourselves. God is saying that those things are being restored. That I'm bringing you back into completeness. I'm bringing you back into my original design. Listen to me, the original design, remember I said, when God created us in his image, we did not lose the seed of the creation. We still carry the Father's seed. And down through the processes of time, he's been working to help unveil that seed so that the original intent of our creation would be manifested in the earth. Okay, he hasn't changed his mind. So what it means is that we're coming closer to the manifestation of the reality of who we were created to be, which means if he, for example, he said to Jeremiah, before I formed in the womb, I knew you and called you a prophet for nations. Well, by the time Jeremiah got to the place of walking as a prophet, no telling what kind of negative things he had to encounter in the process of life. Okay, what kind of attempts the enemy was using to get him out of place. All these things that truly did not look like that of a prophet. But yet, on the day, glory to God, on the day that that prophetic wind was set upon Jeremiah, everything that had come against him was now applied to that moment of that moment of him being the prophet that God called him to be. The good, the bad, and the ugly were all applied in that moment. And what God is saying to us, it may appear that everything that was stolen from us, the good, the bad, and the ugly that was stolen from us, depleted us. No, it didn't. He did as the potter did in Jeremiah. He looked at what had been marred by outside resources while it was yet in his hand, and he took it, the outside resources, the negative, the marring, and everything else. He took it, mixed it together in another a ball of clay, and made it into yet another vessel that was pleasing unto himself. You have to follow me in this. Amen. There is no part of God's intention that has been destroyed. It may have been hidden. It's been challenged and all those things. But God says that he will restore to us those things that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the locust, palmer worm have eaten. Amen. And so his original intent is he become in alignment with the purpose of the resurrected Savior. With the resurrected Christ, that we come in alignment with the redemption plan that he had released in the earth, that we come in alignment, that we come full circle now. We're the generation to come full circle and begin the process of restoration, so the generations following us will not move in the same trappings that were ahead of us. We are that generation. Amen. We are the generation that God has called, that to come in alignment. Y'all hear me today, come in alignment with the purpose and plan of God. But we have got to understand the tricks of the enemy and get out of his Babylonian methodology and get ourselves back in position as being agents of the king, portals in the earth that God is using to bring his presence to bear in the earth at this time and at this season. Amen. So that's where we are. Amen. So the thing that was trying to annihilate you was the subterfuge of the devil trying to get you to come in agreement with the annihilation so that you would miss the fact and miss the moment when your anointing and your purpose is being defined, even the greater, so you could move into next steps and take down that enemy that was trying to take you out. Glory to God, so that the nation now bows to your governance, okay, that which the enemy had in shutdown and it locked down, you now take the key, come on somebody, that you were given in eternity and begin to unlock doors that will unlock nations. Glory to God. And hear me and get this in your heart and in your mind. When you say, give me the nations, doesn't mean you got to get on a plane. You have nations in the community where you live. Glory to God. He says, I will give you the nations, the cultures, your cultures, which represent nations in the very zip codes in which you live. Glory to God. Take them for the kingdom of glory, that they will be released and be used once more, used for his purpose, his plan, and his glory. So the renewing of our mind will prove the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. We will move on a perfect course into kingdom realities, and that we will operate in the earth as we operate victoriously in this season for the purpose of the King of Glory. I wouldn't want to be alive any other time. You mean, I wouldn't want to be in any of the cities in Detroit, any of the states in Michigan, any other region in the Midwest. I wouldn't want to be any place else because wherever you are is where God designed you to be, not for defeat, but for victory. And the only thing we have to do is follow the process that was laid out before us. And he is so wonderful in grace that he will give you that type of authority in the land, in both the places where you were born and the places where he sent you on assignment. Come on. We have power and authority and a reach. We have a reach while standing yet still that will bring things in alignment to the purpose and plan of God. All we have to do is release intercession and understand in our mind's eye who we have become by the power and authority of the blood, and know that we have been given everything in eternity to govern the land so the captives can be set free, regardless on what side of the aisle they sit. Hear me. God has given us that purpose, and he wants us to use it for his glory and for his plan. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I do pray that that has been a blessing to you. I'm going to do a re-listen and let it be a blessing to me, because I had no clue which way the Lord wanted to go with that. I just knew that he wanted us to have that understanding, that cocoon. He wanted us to understand that. And the interesting thing about the cocoon, when you study it, it's actually the caterpillar that begins to weave it. You know, it's kind of like, I wonder if he knew what was going on the inside of that he would be so anxious to weave it. Amen. But those situations and the processes of time and the processes of life, we actually move in to a cocoon status, if you would, because it is the only way that the process of change is going to be able to happen. Amen. But once again, Father will not put us in prematurely, nor will he let us step in prematurely, but we will step in according to his purpose and his time, and we will be victorious in the whole thing. My brothers and sisters, this isn't a word for tomorrow. This is a word for right now. Even right now, you are in position to give voice and purpose to everything going on around you to come in perfect alignment according to the purpose and plan of God. You do not have to wait for the atmosphere to get conducive for victorious takeover. You created the atmosphere when you showed up. And in that atmosphere, the takeover or the alignment or whatever your purpose is has already been fixed in eternity. And all you have to do is operate according to the timing of God to bring it into alignment with his purpose and plan. We aren't waiting on the war. We're already in it. But we aren't waiting to win the war that's already been won by Christ. We're in it to win the war that has entrapped others, that they can be snatched out and bring come into a place that they can give God glory. This day is a day of victory. If you'll lift up your banner, come on, lift up your banner and let it be lifted high as God moves forward and brings victory into this time and season. Amen. And for many of us, just shift for a minute. Many of us, a few days of our primary elections and things, and please don't tell me politics and religion don't mix. Well, actually, we aren't religious, nor are we political, but we do have an authority to bring those things in alignment. If we understand that we only have one government, as you've heard me say before, and that is the government of eternity. So that's not what we're warned for, but we are warned for the land, and we're warned that the land will be in alignment with the power and purpose of God so that corruption does not continue its mainstay. So I'm asking you that are in that place to understand that this is a season of great intercession, that we begin to pray for not for who you want to be in position, but who God desires to be in place. That the land will be taken out of the hand and grip of the Babylonian system, and that it will be handed over to the King of Glory. It's time for some of us to start doing some transferring of deeds, land deeds, bringing land back into the courts of heaven. bringing real estate back into the hand of God. Our vote isn't about a candidate so much as about a root system that we command to be destroyed that's holding people hostage. And it has nothing to do with party lines. Hear what I'm saying? That we have to understand the authority that we carry and how we are to govern the earth. And as I said before, we don't govern the earth sitting at the table with the opposition. We govern it by taking authority over the table. You know what I'm saying? That the captives can be set free. So I'm praying for this nation as it moves into primaries, praying for those who of us that carry the banner, the mantle, if you would, of intercessor, those that are at the gate and on the walls, those are the watchmen, who know that there's been a spiritual exchange in us and that we're not part of the human forces in the earth, but we're the spiritual governing forces sent into the earth to bring alignment to the earth so that captives can be set free on both sides of the aisle, as I said before, and that the corruption that comes from a spirit, that root system is destroyed, and the pure seed of God's righteousness will enter into the land. And it will only enter into the land if we do the planting. It will only enter in the land, hear me, if we drop the seeds of righteousness. And we can't drop nothing that we aren't carrying, hear me. And so we have to make sure that our intention is for the glory of the King of glory and for no other reason, for his glory to manifest in the earth, that the gates will open and let the glory of the Lord come in. Amen. So I ask that you pray for elections around this nation, not by party favors, but by God's favor. Glory to God. That his purpose will be identified, his purpose will be heightened, and his purpose will manifest in the earth simply because we declared a thing and it was established in the earth. Amen. Well, I'm out of time. Glory to God. And with that, I pray for each and every one of you. I thank you so much for your love and for your abiding presence and his abiding presence in your life. I just give God praise for each and every one, as I said. And Father, we thank you. And even as we go off, we do lift up the voting systems around this nation. We pray, Lord God, for your righteousness to be the mantle that is released. And we raise up our brothers and sisters that are aware of their governing standards in the earth, and we stand shoulder to shoulder with them as we release a sound of freedom into this earth, and the corruption of Baal, glory to God, is destroyed at the root, glory to God, so that captives can be set free. And for that, Father, we rejoice. For that, we give you praise. For that, we will be eternally grateful. And we pray for those that are running, that are being held hostage by that same spirit, that they will be released and freed up, glory to God, and will have their testimony and witness as to your goodness, your grace, and your mercy over their lives. So we thank you. So, Father, we bless. We release blessings upon each and every one on this, on the line, each and every one that will hear this later, that you walk in great victory, that you walk in great victory with clear understanding of who you have become by the power of the blood and your assignment in the earth by the power of the mantle that you have been given, and that you move as agents of the King in this hour, delivering the land back into his hands. And for that, we give you praise. And just to end out last two verses in Isaiah 62, go through the gates, prepare you the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed it to the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. God bless you. Rejoice in who you have become because of the process of the cocoon. See you next week. You've been listening to Morning Manna with your host, Apostle Diane Chappelle. Talk to you later. Blessings. Bye-bye.